Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe in angels? More than likely you do. Do you believe in earth angels is the real question? Do you believe that angels can be incarnated into human form? Earth Angel Carol Guy was given a profound message to awaken and call forth all other earth angels to awaken to their own journey. Carol and the angels have been guiding and mentoring others on a path of true discovery. Please join Earth Angel Carol Guy in finding out how the angels can serve you.
Hello and welcome to Earth Angel Radio. I'm your host, Carol Guy. I have been running this morning, so I'm a little out of breath. So anyways, thank you for joining me here in Denver, Colorado, and happy Valentine's Day. You know, everybody's getting ready to enjoy their loved ones, and what a wonderful time that will be. I'm sorry I'm out of breath. I have literally been running today. It's been such a busy day today. And I thought I was going to miss the show, to be honest with you, but I'm here, and we have a wonderful guest today who has been with us many times, and it's always such an honor to have him here with me. So he is the author of, it's like I'm so out of breath right now. He's the author of Metaphysical Interpretation of the Bible, and he's a Tibetan monk, and he is a, I am so out of breath. So anyways, let me bring on our guest today, Dr. Stephen Harefield. Stephen, are you there with me?
It's a pleasure to be here, so why don't you just sit back, catch your breath, little girl, and...
Oh, I am. I was literally running. I was like, oh, my God, it's showtime, and I was stuck in traffic and everything else today, so anyways, I'll just let you take over the show for a moment.
Well, that's what I kind of suggested, to allow you to sort of catch your breath, and while you're doing that, I mean, we've got a pretty good storm going on here, so the news is we are getting water, and the interesting thing for you is this is probably going to hit you guys by early Sunday morning.
Oh, okay, because, you know, it's pretty here today. It snowed a little bit last night, but not much of anything, and so it's not bad, but no sun today, so
well,
I don't know if that's the Friday the 13th kind of stuff or what.
Oh, you know what? I've never bought into that. When you gave me the option of what day to pick to be on your show, and you said Friday the 13th, I said, I'll take it.
You know, it's never bothered me either. So, but thank you. I appreciate you being here.
I think that if people get caught up in those sorts of things, then, you know, they're limiting their own selves and their own lives. That gives them...
Absolutely.
That gives them something to blame for any circumstance on that day, as opposed to injecting what you could say personal responsibility for your own actions and activities.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I guess that kind of goes with the law of attraction, too, because if you believe that something bad's going to happen, then you're kind of attracting that as well into your life.
Well, absolutely. But I find it interesting because in monastic teachings, Carol, they've been teaching the 12 sacred principles of karma for thousands
mm-hmm.
of years, and today we've lumped it into something called law of attraction. Well, first off, all of karma, all 12 segments, is about the law of attraction. In fact, the second principle says that you attract to you what you are, not what
mm-hmm.
you want. So that simply means... That,
you know, that's a huge statement right there, attracting who you are, not what you want.
Well, that idea is actually about 4,000 years old.
Well, I'm sure probably started with when time began here. You know, I think a lot of people are under the impression it's about what they want.
Well,
so how can we change how can we change that?
Oh, that's easily. That's what the 12 sacred principles are about. They walk you through 12 separate ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And once you, quote, master them and live them, and it's not all that hard. Oh, God, mastering something. I don't know if I could do that. Well, of course, anybody can. Once you master all 12 of them, you become fully empowered, and you have the power of creation that steps right into your hands. It's not to say it isn't there, because it doesn't go away. We just misuse it because we don't understand. I mean, nobody's born really with a, like, here's your instruction manual. This is how to operate you. We have to learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. And in monastic teachings, when they're using the 12 sacred principles, that's why life for them occurs the way that it does. They get out of their own way. And that second principle is huge, because to get what you want, you have to understand fully the idea of you attract to you what you are, not what you want. So that simply requires a person. Let's say you're looking for that ideal twin flame, that ideal mate. Well, the gist of that principle would say this: you become the person that you're seeking to have, or become, where you become like the person that you're seeking to have. Like if you want that loving, kind person, easygoing person, non-controlling person, that means you yourself must become that and be that type of person. And when you become that type of person, then you open the door for the person that you seek to have as your ideal partner come into your life. I mean, why would an easygoing, loving individual come into a person's life? And I know what happens out there. Why would they come into a person's life that is controlling, domineering, and whatever else that you want to tag onto it that's not necessarily, let's say, the most positive thing to be?
Well,
go ahead.
Could it be anything about, I mean, what about soul agreements and stuff?
Soul agreements. You know, I'm not so sure of that idea. And I'll tell you why. I know to a way that they exist, but when you understand the principles of karma, what's a soul agreement? We reincarnate, and whether people believe it or not is not even relevant, because we do. And here's why I say that. Because if the idea of infinity is true, then there's really no such thing as death. What we do is we lay down a body and we pick up a body. We lay down a body and we pick up a body. And every time we pick up a body, Carol, we accumulate what's known as karma. So the soul agreement is because in the last lifetime, I, let's say, really hurt you horrendously in the arena of your emotions. I mean, it devastated you. That means when we come back in the next lifetime, you and I are going to meet.
This time,
roles are going to be reversed. Now, if that's a soul agreement, okay, that's fine. But what a soul agreement is the execution and carrying out of the karmic debt. And here's the object. Let's say that same scenario, I hurt you horrendously, devastated you. We now incarnate into another life, and you and I meet again. And this time, it's your turn to devastate me. Well, here's how it works. To end the karmic debt, you don't do it. You don't devastate me.
Okay.
You just flow all the love and kindness that you can. And that negates any karmic debt. And now you and I, as far as that soul agreement are, it's done. That's the reason we have so many relationships from the time we're in high school through life, because we're actually working out soul agreements or karmic debts. And then once we've freed ourselves of all of our karmic debts, then we are allowed, if you will, to meet our twin flame, our twin harmony, or, as some people put it, soulmate. Soulmate can be quite dangerous for the very reason that I just shared with you. Let's say, go to an extreme, let's say in another lifetime, I murder you. Okay, and we come back into this lifetime and we think we've met our soulmate. No. I would say that scenario would create the worst nightmare.
Right,
see,
right.
See, part
but that's
of karma,
that's where that karmic debt comes in, where you need to overcome the situation in this lifetime. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know about so much as overcoming it as to working it out. You cannot run from it, but you can work it out. And when you work it out, Here's a perfect scenario for you, Carol. Let's say a person is a drug addict, mm-hmm. and they overdose on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The very next lifetime, they're going to come in. Karma is going to assure them that they are going to be prone to addictions,
mm-hmm.
but even to a greater level. And if the person doesn't succumb to the addictions, they've worked it out. They will no longer have an addictive personality on any level, in any future lifetime, because they worked through it. That's actually promoting soul growth, is what that's doing.
Because I have been murdered a few times in my in past lives,
uh-huh.
and I've seen them, and I've come, and we have been together in this lifetime,
uh-huh.
but I overcame these things too.
Uh-huh.
I didn't allow it to happen in this lifetime.
And that's why they come back. You see, it's all about soul growth. It's not about physical growth. The soul takes on a body to give it experience, to give it knowledge. Mm-hmm. A person, and this is according to Edgar Cayce, and I have the mind to kind of accept it. A person, let's say, with Down syndrome is an individual, this is their very first incarnation. Every Down syndrome person, they're so kind, they're so gentle, they're so innocent, but they don't know anything about physiology. So they come in with Down syndrome. All right, so they have absolutely no karmic debt. But as we progress in our evolution of soul, we become more and more refined because of the knowledge we've attained. And we grow as a soul, but not necessarily as form. You see, we have all of our focus on form and not soul. And when we look at the world today, we're more steeped in form and materiality than we have been probably since the dawn of this cycle that we're going through now in the history of the world. You could even say we're at the lowest point of the pendulum, without question. And one of the other laws of karma states, it's the law of personal responsibility. That's being responsible for your own emotions, not blaming other people. In other words, when you operate with the law of personal responsibility, there's no such thing as blame. It's no one else's fault. It's your fault. You own it.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. Right. You know, it's so funny that you're talking about all of this, which is, you know, it always, spirit always brings you what you need to have an answer to. And because I really would like to get into the energy and what we and about choosing our own feelings and stuff, but it's funny is that just in the last few months, I think all my old boyfriends have been calling me.
Yes.
I even had one from Australia. He went to Australia and he called me the other night. Hadn't heard from him in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But once, you know, the conversation was good, but it was just like I'm in a totally different space now.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just like I was like, okay, the universe must be testing me to see if I have overcome these things.
No, not, it could be, but I think it's more akin to this. Because of the cycle or phase of life that we're in, Carol, the universe is saying, mend this now. So what we're seeing, and this is, you'd be surprised, this is happening to people all over the place.
I'm seeing that too.
Yeah, where people are just coming out of the woodwork, out of past relationships, they're coming together to create, I don't know, more of an emotional stability, more of a clearing, ending karma, just basic internal house cleaning. I'm not so sure these people are so much coming back into your life to see if they can reestablish a relationship. Oh, yeah, it comes across that way. But that's not really what's going on. What's really going on is sweeping out the cobwebs, the fears, the hesitancies. It's the universe working for you, not against you. And my personal heartfelt suggestion for anybody that's experiencing these sorts of things out there, look, if you go down a path and it didn't work, and you decide to go down a path a second time, I can almost promise you it won't work. So the only reason these people are entering back in the vast majority of people's lives is so there's no karmic obligation from one person to the other. It's a setting free of sorts. So if something way out of the past comes back into your life and wants to establish another relationship, Stephen's suggestion would be is heavily consider not doing that.
Oh, I've already considered that. I already I knew the moment the conversation was going on. I was like, no, not this time, which was very good for me. It was very good. It was very freeing for me.
And that was the purpose. That was the purpose of the reconnect. That was, pardon my pun, that was the sole idea behind it, and for no other reason. That's the universe.
Yeah, I saw that too.
That's the universe actually assisting Carol.
So, you know, we're going through this huge energy shift. Someone in the chat room mentioned about Mercury retrograde, but this is a lot different than Mercury retrograde.
Oh, totally. This has nothing to do with it.
Absolutely. And so I wanted to talk about that because a lot of people are talking about the 2012, and like you just mentioned, a lot of people are going through it, and I've been seeing a lot of people go through it. Things in my life are coming up, too, about this energy shift. And so can you kind of explain the shift a little bit so people have a bigger understanding of it?
And how much time do we have? I'm just talking.
We got 40 minutes, so the floor is yours.
I'll kind of give a I'll put out some things, and if you have questions, ask them so we can make it as clear as mud.
Okay.
First off, the audience has to realize that as an individual, been studying this now for going on, well, close to 37 years. The journey began when I got, well, let's say studying ancient text, and I began to notice similarities and common threads in the arena of prophecy. And then I began to tie all of those threads together. So now that the historical data is out there, here's what came to my realization. As we know in the field of sciences, the magnetic fields of Earth are indeed shifting, and they fully acknowledge it, but they don't acknowledge it full tilt. When they talk about it, they talk about the impact on the weather, they talk about the impact on geology, Mother Earth, but they never talk about the impact of the human or on the human. And I think the reason for that is they're not certain what that is. Why do I bring that up? Because the human is the largest living electromagnetic field on the planet. So basically, if these magnetic fields are shifting, then that means we as human are shifting. And that's been saying to people for years that people are going to get very strange. And almost to a point of seeming insanity. Why is that? That's very simple. Because we're shifting from left brain schools of thought to right brain schools of thought. In other words, we're going from the logical mindset to the creative right brain emotional side of mind. And during that period of shift, it's going to have a very distinct and direct impact not only on our physiological selves, but also our mental selves, the way we think and operate. In fact, when you're finding things not working as they used to, you're experiencing exactly what Stephen just said. Things the way we've always done it just simply won't work anymore. Now take a look around the world, everybody, at the governments, people, monetary systems, educational systems, you all tell me what out there is working, but we're attempting to put a square peg in a round hole. And by the way, this cycle occurs about every 25,000 years, and that's according to the Maya.
And we Mayan calendar.
Right, and we are in that cycle now, and the idea of 2012 can mean one of two things. It means that's the culmination, or that's when it concludes. And I have a sense that over the next several years, if you simply observe, you're going to find people getting, let's say, more interesting, is the word I'll use, more intriguing in how
that's a nice, lightly way to put it.
yeah, but here's the end result. what we're actually seeing in the entire world is humankind awakening, awakening to the truth of their own self. We're actually seeing a birth process taking place where you see a true merge between the idea of souls or spirit and form unifying into one cohesive entity. I mean, imagine a world filled with people like Buddha, Jesus Christ, Mary Magdalene, Kuan Yin, and that's all that existed. Yeah, I know. Everybody says, that's so utopian, Stephen. No, it's a lot more real than you think. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're actually seeing. So I just gave everybody a nutshell sketch. And in about 3 weeks, we're going to be doing a full two-hour show on my show on Wednesdays with an in-depth conversation about all of this stuff. Only because, and the only reason is because of things like that are going on in Australia. It's people are going to become nonsensical, and they're going to be doing very destructive things, or they will have that potential. And here's why I share that, Carol. In Ancient Prophecy, it says these words, what is hidden shall be made known. Okay, we don't necessarily, again, apply that to individuals. So if a person has a tendency to set fires in their imagination and in their fantasies, if you will, they're going to carry them out in reality, and there's nothing they can do about it. And if people if people look around, we're actually seeing that now. We're seeing it shown to us, at least the leading edges. Like, it's easier to spot, as an example, deceptive people. It's a lot easier today to spot people who usually speak untruths. It's a lot easier today to see people simply as they are, and it's getting more and more difficult for people to hide behind self-imposed illusions.
And so, you know, I guess another example I would like to share is maybe, you know, like with people with relationships, since it is Valentine's Day weekend, you know, if you're having a struggle in your relationship and you haven't been dealing with it, that's going to come to surface.
It's going to magnify, too. And that's one of the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, why you're seeing so many relationships coming apart. But at the same time, you're seeing magnificent relationships come together because the universe during this change doesn't want us to be alone. But if your relationship is based on deception, then guess what? You will not be able to hide that deception. It doesn't matter who you are and how wonderful you think you are at doing it. The guy Madoff that has ripped off all of those people for all of those years, all right, he was finally exposed and the truth was shown about him. It was shown at what he's doing. We're seeing that done. We're seeing that through corporate America, through the governments of the world, and the corporate world globally. We're seeing it coming to pass where none of these people are going to be able to any longer get away with what they think, because the world that's coming has no room for deception. It has no room for ego. At least in the sense that the way that we use it now, it has no room for greed. I mean, very literally, you are witnessing the birth of and the creation of the divine human. Very literally.
I see that, and you know, the last few weeks I've seen so many people just get really, really upset for the smallest little things, and but then I've also seen people that, you know, that they are the magnified of their true self of being more loving is starting to come out as well.
Absolutely. I mean,
and I also am seeing a lot of people being sick, too.
Well,
and I don't think it's just the weather,
No, it comes down to if the magnetic fields are changing and our minds are going to change, then it would be safe to conclude that also physiology is going to go through the same shift. It has to. I mean, we're actually going to require, if you will, less mass. And all these people that are getting sick, it's because of, and forgive me for the sounding of this, if you drink a lot of soft drinks, it's going to hammer you. If you're drinking anything other than water, you're going to have difficulties, especially a lot. I've talked with a lot of people that drink absolutely no water. Well, the body is 80% water, so it requires it. I guess my point in the long run, and to make it short, is just that that's a symbolism of the body detoxifying itself.
Mm-hmm.
Thus the illness.
So, what can people do right now to help them through this shift?
You start recognizing yourself and listening to your body. When I say that, Carol, most people up until recent times, and a lot still do, they identify themselves as their house, as their hair, as their clothes, as their family, as their friends, as their car, as their bank accounts. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just stuff. That's not you. That's not human. So people, my greatest loving suggestion would be is go inside, do some soul searching, and identify yourself in the rubble of humankind. And by so doing, you do yourself a great honor and a great service by self-recognition.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like one of the things I love to share with people. We're coming to the point where we cannot say to someone, Carol, you make me feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we say that, what we don't realize when we say it is that we have actually given our control of ourselves to Carol. In other words, I don't realize I'm saying you control my emotions and I don't. Well, excuse me, going back to the karma and the law of personal responsibility, the law of personal responsibility says your emotions are your own and they're up to you to feel what you choose, not because of someone else. My point in that is to help people through this time, you have to know you. I read a thing a long time ago where these archaeologists had this information given to them in Greece about the greatest wisdom ever left for humankind to realize. And in the first day of digging, they found this arch that had some words written on it. And weeks and months passed, and they were just getting frustrated because they weren't able to find the great wisdom. So during a break, one of the archaeologists sat down, and he started looking at this arch, and all of a sudden, he broke up in laughter. All the other archaeologists came over and wanted to know what he was laughing at, and he pointed at this small arch, and here's what the words on it said, know thyself.
Know thyself.
Yes. The greatest
wisdom
that we could ever. I was going to say the greatest wisdom we could ever know.
Absolutely, but you know we talk about that, but we really, you know, people aren't really doing this. But now I feel that they're going to be forced to do this.
No, we are being forced into it. Look at the economy; we're already being shown that we're not our stuff, and nobody has gotten it yet. But we're still such external positions. Look, panic is going to do nobody any good. Why? Because here we have to create a new paradigm, and we're going to learn that as we go. But as long as that's there, that means we cannot continue doing it the old way. Why? Because it just is not going to work, and we should come to the realization that that is already going on.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you just need to be conscious of this, bring up your awareness of starting to pay attention more.
Instead of being concerned or worried about how much money you're losing or what you don't have, why not be thankful and grateful for what you do have? There's a concept, and I think humans are quite capable of doing precisely that, being grateful. The new idea that's attempting to come in is going to be very grateful and gracious human beings, not these self-centered humankind that we see. And to me, that's also another key. Be centered in self and not self-centered. That's why it was shared that know thyself is extremely important. It's not a religious mumbo-jumbo concept. It's just simply the truth. If you don't know you, you see, in America, we spend more time poking around in other people's lives than we do our own. Look at our country. The entire nation spends more time telling the rest of the world what they can and cannot do instead of tending our own yard. We're tending our yard, sort of, and in everybody else's business. And that comes all the way down to the individuals. And that's really not up to us to do. It really isn't. But do whatever it is that you folks choose out there. This is not something Stephen would do.
Right, yeah. So, you know, it is about the individual that they need to really start taking a look at their lives, because things are going to change. You know, on the material plane now, you know, you're saying instead of focusing on the things you don't have, start being grateful for what you do have. But this has to be an actually a feeling of being gratitude, not just thinking the words or saying the words, but
living it.
The thing, huh?
Living it,
right.
Yeah, literally,
but
living it.
Can, through this shift, instead of us losing things, can we also gain things as well in this?
Oh,
I mean,
we are,
on the material side?
We are absolutely going to gain everything. Mm-hmm. I can, without hesitation, I can paint you a very minuscule picture of what it's going to be like. Would you like to hear that?
I would love to.
Okay. People say, Stephen, on this one, I think you've lost it. Well, those people are looking at the short term.
Well, you know, just one thing is, you have to lose it. Far as getting out of the mind, you got to get out of your mind and into the heart to be able to understand what you're saying.
All great masters throughout time have said these words: you must lose yourself to gain yourself.
Mm-hmm.
A seed must die for a plant to be born. A caterpillar gives up its life so it can fly.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, everybody. That's true with the human. The world that's coming is going to be something like this. Referred to by me sometimes as the return of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to see is the divine human. I suggested to you earlier, imagine if the entire human race were like the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have a need for war? Would you have a need for weapons? Would you have a need for police, judges, governments? Would you have a need for weapons? Would you have a need for career stress? Would you have a need for starvation? That answer is its own answer by looking at the very thing that was offered. You see, imagine a world where the power of manifestation was unlimited and also instant. What would you lack? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a world where you could meet a stranger and you were instantly friends. A world where there was no need for even a door on your house. A world that was in absolute implicit harmony. So when you say, what do you gain? That's what you gain.
You gain everything.
You see, I'm going to say this as blatant as I can. The world will, at that moment in time, will have fewer people on it than it does today. Why? Because people like Madoff can't be here.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot. A person like Ahmadinejad, the leader of Iran, cannot be here. A George Bush cannot be here. A person with any criminal intent cannot be here.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes all the way down to if you're deceptive, if you're greedy, if you're self-centered, you name it. None of that can exist in that type of an environment. So for a person to live in that manner, we have quite a journey that's going to get a little more genuine than what we're experiencing today. Now hear how I said that, and I'm being very, very subtle and low-key about it. We will see, yes, geological changes. Yes, we're going to see more earthquakes, volcanoes. We're going to see more disruption in humankind before we get there. Because the universe is kind of saying, right now as we speak, where do you stand, Stephen, Carol, Karen? Where do you stand? Where is your heart? Who are you inside? Show me.
Mm-hmm.
And as it unfolds for each individual, then that individual has in their hands the right to determine, completely where they stand. Every human has that right. So when the universe says, where are you in this? And you are distraught all over your money. Christ did something very interesting. And that's this. That where your treasure is, so shall your heart be. You see, my treasure is not only myself, but it's my lovely bride, and it's every human being that walks, because life is the treasure. So my treasure is life, and that's where my heart is. So my point, Stephen knows where he stands, and so does the universe. And believe you me, just like you, Carol, it gets tested. It gets tested big time. It's kind of like, so, Carol, how do you like the struggle? You having fun with it? Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Let me see. Where do you stand? That's what it's asking you. So where do you stand? So when you stand in that paradigm of truth, then the universe says, she's real. All right, let's go find somebody else now.
Well, I'm ready for them to go pick on somebody else. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes,
no, you know, it's really funny.
No, you're not.
You know, it's really funny, though, is I have seen what I have experienced with my own self and seeing different things. I am feeling with this more peace, more calm, more love within inside myself instead of just really, really going crazy. You know, a few years ago I'd have been throwing a fit. Yes, I might question some things when something comes up and it kind of jars me a little bit. I'll question it, but I'm not doing what I used to do, you know, a few years ago. And I literally have been feeling peace and calm and just very much joy. This past week my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and you know, that I've been seeing it coming. I've been trying to do what I can to help. But it was until the doctors finally told the rest of the family that everybody's finally acknowledging it. And you know, it just being having everybody else finally acknowledging it, I felt a little sadness. But then I just felt so much love and peace and joy within inside of me, too. Now, that sounds strange to a lot of people, but it actually felt freeing for me, you know, that, okay, now it's finally out in the open with everybody in the family. Now we can move forward.
But the truth of the matter is, the more this grows, the more peaceful, Carol, you're going to become.
And I'm feeling that.
All right, but here's another thing. Because people are showing themselves, that also runs the risk of more people not liking you. Think about something, everybody. A porch light on in the middle of summer. Do you know how many bugs that attracts? My point is the greater an individual's light shines, the more things are going to come at it, because that's what they want. They want that kind of light, but they have to establish it within themselves. They cannot take your light, unless, of course, you give it to them. But what they can do is learn from you and establish their own. And that's going to be the dynamic that the human is going to be turned into. So people have to educate themselves through themselves by learning to pay attention to what their body is saying, their surroundings are saying. The interesting thing is in the economic times we're in, what we're actually seeing is more people getting self-centered as opposed to being centered in self, and that's really being done by the universe.
Explain that a little bit, the difference, because I think people misunderstand the difference between those two concepts.
Okay. Self-centered is somebody that is caught up and always staring at the mirror, always fixing their hair, concerned about what other people think of them, how they look when they're in public. It's basically self-centered is very literally selfishly centered in their own being and the heck with everybody else. But centered in self is one that you could say Christ was very centered in himself. Buddha also very centered in himself. So when I say centered in yourself, it's you are self-reliant. It's kind of like, well, look, if something makes you happy, and this is at the audience and to anyone that chooses to hear it, if something makes you happy, then that very same thing can also make you sad. That would be a self-centered person. But a person centered himself, they are very happy simply with who they are. They're very grateful with who they are, and they're grateful for any experience that they have. So there's an extreme difference between centered in self and self-centered. I hope that explanation helped.
Oh, very good. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, I just want people to have an understanding of the difference here, because I think that causes a lot of friction of within themselves. Of, okay, you know, I'm supposed to be self-centered, but, you know, not knowing. It's just the not knowing of what the difference is for them.
Well, and don't go for being self-centered. And I know that term has been used for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go for being self-centered, that can be more ego-based than centered in self. That's just the way that Stephen was taught as a monk in the Far East.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes total sense. Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, and it's not to add confusion, because I know there's a lot of people out there that like to add so much confusion to stuff, and they're only
mm-hmm.
doing it so that they can show possibly something that's unique.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes in doing that, it just simply creates confusion to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely not my desire to do.
Mm-hmm.
So clarity is part of being centered in self, but it's being clear with who you are. Now, hear how I said that. Clear with who you are, not what you are. See, what you are could also be construed as self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
What you are is all that external stuff.
Mm-hmm.
See, the truth is, Carol doesn't make me happy. No, I'm going to go further than that because I know she's listening. My lovely bride, and I love her dearly, doesn't make me happy. I'm already
mm-hmm.
happy, and she's already happy, and what we do is we share our happiness with each other.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you wouldn't hear either one of us say, you make me happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, with so many people are looking for relationships, or they're in a relationship that's not working, and you know, because I heard this the other day. Someone said, "Well, I want someone that's going to make me happy," and I said, "No one's going to be able to make you happy. You know, you have to find your own happiness within yourself."
Look, ladies and gentlemen, in our modern world, and I would like to ask everybody that is hearing this to take this to heart. Hearing it during the show, and if you listen to it after the show, take this very one thing to heart, if nothing else. If you're looking for a person to make you happy, that person has the power to destroy you. Oh, Stephen, wait, that person wouldn't do that. Look back in your life, because
mm-hmm.
every time you've given that power, and especially if you're looking to be empowered in your life, that if you give that person the power to make you happy, then you're going to get manipulated like a fiddle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very simple.
Yeah.
But if you're already happy simply because of who you are, then share that happiness. Yeah, now don't get me wrong. That person comes into life and they can expand that happiness and they can expand that joy, but they aren't the reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're,
and that's the key word there, is expanding it.
Exactly. But
mm-hmm.
know this, they aren't the reason for it. If they are the sole reason for your happiness, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be an easy relationship. That I can promise you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But an easy relationship is one where they're sharing. Sharing
mm-hmm.
simply in happiness and allowing for that expansion. Now, that's
mm-hmm.
different.
It is very different, very different. And, you know, you mentioned earlier on the show, you know, that some of the relationships that aren't doing so well are going to fall apart.
Absolutely.
But it's also going to bring, it's going to bring those relationships that are, it's going to bring the people that are ready, that are already happy. It's going to start bringing them together too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you or your listeners, and I'll be honest enough to say, look, I've had many relationships in my life. The number is irrelevant, but believe me, I don't have enough fingers and toes.
Oh, that says a lot.
Yeah, no. But the reason I bring this up is if you look at the progression of relationships in your life, anyone's
mm-hmm.
life, every time a relationship comes in and goes out, the next one is generally better. So they're all educational processes for the people seeking the relationship so that they adjust themselves enough to be able to attract the relationship that they truly want. Remember how we started the show? You attract to you what you are, not what you want. And where I'm going is this. After all of that crawling in mud and slime and having heartache and heartbreak and then realizing it was me, I have the most magnificent lady in my life, and I would do it all again, knowing she was at the end of that road.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
But it's and we all can have. And by the way, don't look for a twin flame or a soulmate. Look for a twin flame, and that's what she is. It's somebody that resonates to exactly the same things that you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the people look for soulmates is because that's what they've been taught.
Exactly.
And that's what they've been taught, and they don't know the difference between a twin flame and a soulmate.
Well, Edgar Casey, this is from Edgar Casey's words, and I, and from personal experience, I have no doubt that it's accurate. But Edgar Casey says, we incarnate on the average, just the average, of 2 to 250 times. Now imagine how many soulmates you can have. Imagine how many people you have irritated through the centuries.
Who, me? You know, I'm sure that a lot of people are going, oh, who, me? You know, not me.
Oh, yeah. One of the things I do when I do readings with people is sometimes I'll talk with them about their past lives. I don't like to get into it because too many people can get enamored and get caught up in it.
I agree with you. I've said that before, too. Mm-hmm.
Right. You aren't who you were. You are the accumulation of who you were in all those times. The more refined you are today, the more experience you've had before. I'm going to share something with everybody. One of my previous lifetimes in the late 1400s in England, I was a highwayman. You know, the guy that stands in the middle of the road on his horse and says, stand and deliver. I held up the wrong carriage. And ended up hanging on an oak tree right there beside the road. That was in the late 1400, 1474 or 5, somewhere in there. But when you see everything you've ever done, it can affect you. Just know that the more refined you are, the more experience you've had, which means you've been a pirate, a Viking, raping, pillaging, plundering. You've been there, done all of that. And that's the process of growth. From
absolutely.
The perspective, a lot of people go, "Oh no, that's oh yeah."
Oh yeah, and it does affect you in this lifetime too. We have a caller. You want to take a call?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's see if we can get this caller. We have about 10 minutes left. Hello, caller, area code 802. This is Carol and Stephen. How can we help you?
Hi, Carol. This is Jan. I can't get in, so I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Do you want to have a question or anything, or good to go?
And I just actually called in the last 5 minutes, so I'm just getting an introduction as to what you're talking about. If you're talking about twin flames, which I think you are, I think that I have been having, and I think I've talked to Carol about this, I can't remember, but I think I've been meeting my twin flame when I'm sleeping. So I do believe that he's coming in, and I think...
That's exactly what your dreams are telling you. I would tend to say that he's probably very close now, because you are seeing it in the dreams. And here's something that seems to be very important. You pay very close attention to his eyes, because the eyes are what you're going to recognize.
Well, that's interesting, because in the dream, the first thing I noticed was his eyes.
Uh-huh.
And I glanced away, and then I said to myself in the dream, I looked immediately back at him, and before he was behind, immediately he was behind me, wrapping his arms around me. So I figured this is going to be like quick. This is going to be something where I get that. Wow, this is important because it's going to happen quickly.
Absolutely. Let me share something with you because I think that's a perfect segue into something that one of my teachers in the Far East taught me. I asked him about the idea of love, and here was his very profound answer. Love does not know time, nor does it know distance. It only knows itself. Now, for all of you people out there, when you get in a relationship and you start thinking this is going too fast, remember the words that you just heard. It does not know time nor distance. It only knows itself. And I can assure you, when you encounter your twin flame, it's going to curl your hair, and it'll be in less than 5 seconds. And I mean
that
with every ounce of my heart, and you could ask my lovely bride that, because that's exactly what happened.
Great topic.
It is a great topic, you know, and I think that's one thing that more people need to have an understanding between the difference between soulmates and twin flames.
Here's something everybody else has to understand. If you are not ready and you are fearful of it, you will never see them. You cannot.
Oh, I welcome it. So,
Will your paths cross at all?
Yes, they will.
Even if you're not ready?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you can't. But when you look in their eyes, you won't be able to see. You won't see each other.
No. Mm-hmm. No, you won't. And the funny thing is soulmates are never. There was a birth. I'm going to share something with everybody. At the beginning of this year, there were two children born, a boy and a girl. They were born 200 miles apart. They're born in the Midwest. One in southern Minnesota. The other one in northern Iowa. And they were born at the exact same minute and second.
Hmm. Wow, that's interesting.
One was a female. And I told some friends of mine that those parents should meet and have those children meet. But here's the funny thing. They're going to meet anyway, no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the question will be, because of life conditioning, will they be ready to greet that person? You see, you're having your dreams now, Jan. And you're being advised, he is around you. And don't rattle your brain, because no, you don't know him. I can promise you that. You don't know him yet.
Mm-hmm.
And when you meet him, and it's going to appear to be a fluke, and I mean very literally, you're probably going to just simply bump into each other. It could be like at a mall shopping, or you're coming out a door in a hurry and he's going in, and you very literally bump into each other.
Wonderful. Isn't that exciting? But don't be looking for him. Just let it go.
Let it happen.
Let it go.
Yeah,
I'm pretty good about that. I trust. And so I'm just out, just having fun, and I trust. It was interesting. In the dream, we were outside.
Uh-huh.
And I put my right foot and my left foot on his feet, and I'm a dancer. He was making my arms go out and in, and it was like we were doing a dance together.
Okay, you're getting the message. All right, you're very distinctly getting the message, but you have to remember this is when we dream, we actually dream through right brain, which mm-hmm. means it's metaphorical. All right, so it's letting you know that he's coming, and it is going. You will dance together in perfect harmony. Not that you're literally going to be standing on his feet and dancing.
Right. Does it matter if he came in on my left and not on my right? Does that have any significance?
I would say he approached from the side of spirit.
Okay.
All right. So, and it really doesn't matter. But I will share this with you: when they come in on the left, it has incredible significance in its meaning. So I'm absolutely pleased for you to hear that he came in from that side.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome. You got a lot of detail going on there, Jan. So we only have about 4 minutes, and there is another caller if you want to take another one real quick, Stephen.
Sure.
Can you put me on hold?
I will. Hold on. So let's see here. Yeah. Okay, area code 919, you're on the call air with Carol and Stephen. How can we help you?
I'm just listening.
You're just listening?
Okay. You know,
okay.
I thought that was the reason Blog Talk put the thing that you had to press 1, that if you press 1, you could just sit there and listen, and it wouldn't even show up on the switchboard.
Oh, yeah.
Let your listeners know, don't press the 1. if you just call in and want to listen, the show will still come through to you. But as soon as you press the one, you get to the switchboard.
Okay.
So, not that it's a big deal.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, actual callers today on the show. How fun is that?
That's wonderful, yeah. Well, a lot of people like to usually call in and get some information and stuff, too. So, you know, we only have 2 minutes now. But, you know, do you think that we're going to see this time frame, like the Atlantis time frame, by 2012? Do you think it'll all be...
I will answer you this way, that okay. Anybody that is hearing my words, you all will see the rising of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it's
a question of where you stand when she comes. It's a question of who you are, and that's the only question. Are you material?
Mm-hmm.
Are you self-centered? Are you ego-based? If you are, you have the opportunity to shift that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only, if that's a warning, so be it, but it's a message saying it's still in your hands. The choice is still yours because struggle is coming. And
mm-hmm.
just Carol and I just happened to have been, and like so many others, happened to have been on the leading edge.
Yes, because I've been getting all the messages, you know, through my guides and stuff, too, about this. So, and you've been very grateful about helping me to have a better, deeper understanding of things. So I really appreciate that
anytime.
Very much. So.
You know that. Anytime.
Well, thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen out there, I do the sort of thing like you just heard with the caller for people just like Carol all over the world. And as Carol can verify, if you really don't have the money, don't hold yourself away. And if you call me or contact me and tell me you don't have the money, remember something. I'm going to know whether you're being deceptive or not. So if you really don't have the money, I'm about to do a session. Carol knows I'll do it. I'm about to do one for a gentleman in Ontario, Canada, that I know he doesn't have the money, but he needs the help. So it's not about the money. It's about the ability to help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, thank you very much. Give out your website, and your radio show is on Wednesday nights as well.
Right, we're on Wednesdays. We the show Aware Talk Radio. It's every Wednesday night. In fact, this coming Wednesday is tomorrow or next Wednesday is going to be absolutely awesome. We have a guy that is he's an ancient Aramaic scholar.
Yes.
And we're talking about language and metaphor, and what the ancients meant. The radio show is Blog Talk / Aware. My website is, of course, www.hairfield, that's HAIRFIELD.com. And everything about me is on there, including my books, CDs, whatever. And
well, thank you very much. We're about ready to get kicked off here in about 5 seconds.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Stephen. Many blessings to everyone and much love. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Earth Angel Carol Guy. Please join Carol and the Angels for more angelic guidance every Friday at 12 noon Mountain Standard Time. For more information on Carol Guy, please visit www.carolguy.com. That's CarolGuy.com. May your life be blessed with eyes to see, ears to hear, and an open heart to love.